Hey guys, hope you're all doing well. I figured it was a pretty good time to do an update, I suppose. I actually think the last podcast, it's really interesting that I was probably a little bit hesitant to upload it because I guess like the whole nothing to do with like me being worried about, things I've said or it would be interesting if you were a very much a newcomer to the podcast and you hadn't listened for not necessarily a lengthy period of time, but even just like maybe you've only listened to like two or three podcasts. It would be interesting the perspective that you might take on the podcast versus someone that has listened for quite a period of time. And the reason I probably say something like that is purely because I don't really worry about things I say at all, because I guess I assume that everyone that listens to the podcast will have listened to it for, a lengthy enough period of time that if I do say something wrong, or like, I like, we'll call it like, if I like fuck up basically on the podcast and like say something wrong, I'll not be judged as heavily as if, yeah, like you were a very first time listener and you'd be thinking like, is this guy crazy? Like, what's this all about? Like, did he really just say that? And that's really interesting because like obviously not everyone will have listened to quite a bit, but maybe that's what makes the podcast pretty good, that I just don't care. I guess like not that I don't care, everybody cares. That would be a huge lie for me to say something like that, but I guess the whole no non-censored approach, because I truly believe that in this life, this world, no matter what your status is, whether you're Mark Zuckerberg and you're a probably gazillionaire or something like that, or you're Michael Jordan in his prime, or I'm obviously not on any of these platforms or levels, but at the end of the day, I'm probably seen as, pretty successful and professional and things like this. But I believe that we're all equally vulnerable. And actually, I think the most successful people in the world are probably the most vulnerable. I have a strong belief that to become successful. Sorry, I'm just plugging Normatex in, so it might like be clicking noises and all the rest of it. I think to become successful at a very high level, like maybe a Mark Zuckerberg or a Michael Jordan, or you need to have sort of probably dealt with some form of adversity, like we've spoken about before. And then not only that, like I think ultimately to be that successful, there needs to be probably some underlying issues or insecurities or lack of belief in yourself or low self-worth. And I actually don't know if I might be wrong. That's just a theory. But I think the theory stems from to have the drive that it must take to be that good at something. Something deep within you has to be continually pushing you. Of course, you can have people around you pushing you, but you have to have something ingrained in you. And all I imagine is a boy whose like father has told him you're not good enough. And then you've developed this idea, a bit like the movie Inception. You develop this idea that you're not good enough. And so that's what drives you every day. And you just continue to push and push and push and push and push because you just basically never believe you're good enough. And you always think you can be better. And so I guess to get to the likes of the levels of success that some people get to, there needs to be a vulnerability. And that's kind of like, I think this is the fucked up thing about the world, if I'm honest, is that it seems to be okay for people that are on top or for people that are like, doing really well to be like, you know, if someone, and again, you might think I'm right or wrong, but, you know, someone on Instagram with 2 million followers and they're successful at what they do, and, you know, they discuss mental health issues and everyone's like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, wow, that's so brave of you. And, you know, wow, crazy. Versus like, you know, someone that, you know, maybe isn't in the public spotlight and doesn't have this huge reach. I think it's actually easier if you're seen as like a successful person and, you know, people look up to you and you have maybe a pretty big reach or pretty big following, or not just Instagram, you know, like let's just say you influence quite a lot of people. And I guess in the running world in Ireland and UK and Northern Ireland and things like this, I probably, you know, reach and impact quite a lot of people. And so I've always thought it's a lot easier for me to, you know, say I struggle, because obviously, even though I'm suggesting I'm struggling, or like was struggling, et cetera, there's still a pretty successful career being built around those struggles. And so what I'm trying to say is, even if you haven't had a super successful, you know, 3 to 4 years, and, you know, maybe you wish things had been different or things that could have gone better and you feel like you're struggling, it doesn't matter what position you're in. Doesn't matter, you know, if you've had a great few years, it's always okay to admit. And a lot of people reached out to me, admit that you're struggling. Sorry, I should have finished my sentence there. A lot of people reached out to me after that last podcast, and I was obviously unsure whether or not to upload it. I don't really know why. I guess when I started the podcast, it was very much all about this journey and this. It was, I mean, most of it, a lot of the time it was recovery techniques and training and different ways of training and ways that I was changing my own training. But like, I guess what I've learned over, I guess, a period of 2 years, is it now? It's more about my shift in psychology that's allowing some of these really great results to sort of shine through. And I can look back at some of the training and the periods of training that I've put in over these last 2 years, specifically in somewhere like Flagstaff or like where I am right now at altitude, and I'm really impressed. I'm like, wow, like that was really impressive training. But then I kind of look at the race results, and they don't often, back then, they didn't often reflect some of the stuff I was doing in training. And so probably why I speak about psychology so much is because I think it's way more important than like the day-to-day. You don't want to hear about my training. Okay, some people probably do, but my training is on Strava. Like if you want to see what I do for training, like it's right there. And I do talk about it, but I guess I'm unsure what people want to hear. If people want to just hear tips and advice and, you know, a podcast on, hey, this is 5 ways you can improve your sleep, or like I said, like that last podcast where I was a little bit unsure about uploading it. And again, like I say, it had nothing to do with my uncensored approach and, you know, me talking about being on medication and I'm actually like really glad that I'm on the medication, and that's, I think it is really helping, but also like I'm so glad that the side effects kind of wore off, because it really beat the shit clean out of me. Like I actually can't believe like I kind of survived and was still training for like the 2 or 3 weeks that like those side effects were, you know, it was really bad. Like it was so bad. And actually like you take a real turn for the worse in your psychology. And I was like lying in bed at probably like 10:30 a.m., which is really unlike me. And it's the first time the word depressed had ever came into my head. Like I was kind of thinking, Stephen, like I think you're depressed. And I also want the reason I would want to highlight that is because I actually, whether I was or I wasn't, and I don't think I was, I'm unsure, I don't know. But I actually don't think I was. I think what I'm trying to highlight is that symptoms of depression can be temporary. Now, of course, there can be long underlying issues, but it can go from bad to worse, or good to bad, or bad to good, et cetera, quickly. So here's me, probably not in a terrible place, but not in a great place. So I reach out and speak to a psychiatrist. He comes on board, he helps, I'm in a better place. I was just having a few Guinness one night, two Guinness, and I happened to text the picture of the Guinness to the psychiatrist, and I said, nothing like two Guinness to settle down your brain and stop it from basically being a overloading brain. And then he writes back, there's medication that can help with that. Fast forward, you start the medication. Medication fucks you up even more, makes you worse. And then I think now I'm through that, over all that kind of the worst of like the medic, my body, your body basically fights the medication. And while it's fighting the medication, it makes you feel even worse, and it makes you feel nauseous, and it felt like I had a hangover for 10 days. Now, it doesn't help that on my third day of the medication was the night that I drunk loads and ended up throwing up all over myself, because you're not probably supposed to drink when you've just started new medication. It also probably, just for the record, doesn't help that I decided that you're told to take a certain dose for a week. And me being me, I decided that the rules don't apply to me. And so I can just start the regular dose, which was actually a high, pretty high dose. I'd done this test, this gene test, and it tests your genes. And apparently my body absorbs medication quickly. And so it'll metabolize it really quickly. That was something that came back on the report. So I had to be prescribed more, because otherwise my body would just metabolize it really quickly. But I was still supposed to take a lower dose for a week, and I decided to just, the rules don't apply to me, so I can just go straight in on the double dose. So that's probably why for 3 weeks my body was a fucking mess, excuse my language. Oh, I looking back, I'm laughing and smiling now, but I don't know why, because it was so bad. But yeah, look, the worst of that's over. And yeah, okay, so it w I'm really rambling here a bit, but basically I didn't know it. Interestingly enough, it's funny that the podcast, well, to cut a long story short here, it's funny that the things we think people might receive badly and not be that interested in hearing about is actually the opposite. People were commenting that that was maybe, the best podcast ever, not ever that they've ever heard, but maybe my best one ever, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought that was really cool. And I kind of like that. I guess I'm not afraid to just be vulnerable and show that vulnerable side of me, because what's really interesting, as I was walking through the store tonight to pick up some groceries, I was laughing in one of the aisles, and I have no idea why this thought just came to me, but I was laughing because I thought to myself, I have a really high opinion of myself. Really, really high. I'm pretty vain, I'm pretty arrogant, but I think it's because how hard I work, and I'm really proud of myself. And so if you're really, really proud of yourself because your application to things, and also just how you carry yourself day to day, and how you look after others, do you care for others? Do you bring things to other people's lives, not just they bring stuff to your life? And I guess I came to the conclusion that ultimately that should be one of your goals in life, is to make yourself proud of yourself. And the more proud you are of yourself, I think the happier. I think this all links back to the mental health side of things. And it's just, it fascinates me that I was just walking down an aisle in a store called Safeway, and I just started smiling about how much I believe in myself. And that's going to lead to, I've had a fucking disaster coming to America. It literally couldn't have gone worse. Well, okay, it could, because I could have tested positive already for COVID, and I haven't yet, which is really nice. I got a negative test result back today. That's my second negative test. So I did a, in fact, it's my third test in 10 days that's been negative, which is good. You had to do a test to fly to America. Fine. I chose to pay £1,500. So instead of £500, I paid £1,500 to fly business class. I thought that would limit my exposure to people on the plane, and it would also just be a much more comfortable trip and things like this. I paid up, that big amount of money. I get to Flagstaff, and I'm in Flagstaff 24 hours, and one of my housemates doesn't leave his bedroom because he has symptoms. I then find out that another housemate in the house might have had symptoms for a couple of days before that, but didn't really say anything. And then the positive tests start rolling in, and I'm just like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? It was so bad. Like, when you've made, I didn't go home for Christmas because of COVID, I isolated in London, and when you've kind of like made this big effort to kind of like try to hide, not hide from COVID, because let me be clear that I decided this year that I wasn't going to like hide in my room in Belfast and like not see anybody and only train. And I sort of made the decision that I would commit to a plan which would involve altitude, it would involve going to a gym, it would involve going to physio. I decided that I would commit to the services that were available that would help the Olympics. So, for example, if my physio gave me COVID, I would basically put it down as well. To be a great athlete at the Olympics, physio was very important. If I went to the gym and, I caught COVID in a private gym because someone else had used the private gym, again, I would believe that gym was vital to me, like performing at the Olympics. And so I was always going to expose myself to certain risks throughout this year, but I guess what can get frustrating is when you're relying on other people to be careful. And I actually, if you remember, booked my own place in London because I thought it was easier to limit risk and exposure by being by myself, and I could control who I expose myself to. The problem with coronavirus is, this is a really, really bad way of comparing this, but like, think of it as like a sexually transmitted disease, and you can only control who you sleep with. But if you sleep with someone and they've slept with 20 people, then the chances are you're fucked. And I think that's a really great way of explaining it, because if you control who you're exposed to, but you live with someone or train with someone that, like, I guess hasn't showed the same care that you have. Now, you can also get very unlucky because you could expose yourself to someone that, by accident in a supermarket, but I don't really believe that. I could be wrong, but I think the chances of catching it have to be extremely low in a supermarket and things like this. And I guess, like, I've been going to a supermarket and all these kind of places for months and months and months, and I'm okay. The only real time I've heard of people getting it is through probably irresponsible behavior, which is a bit of a shame. So yeah, it's just been a bit of a shit mess. So I decided to get a hotel. So I'm in a hotel. But what's really brilliant is like how positive I am about all of this, because when it tracks back to like being proud of yourself or not, what really impressed me was when I, you could understand why I'd be like frustrated, okay? Because you've flown somewhere, you missed Christmas to sort of like be careful and not expose yourself. You didn't fly home, you had a flight booked for Christmas Eve, you could have flew there, you could have left on Boxing Day, flights were already booked, you chose not to. You make decisions, you fly business class because less exposure around less people, far easier to manage. and then you land into what just feels like, we're going to call it the Wild Wild West, because it just felt like there was a lot of irresponsible behavior. And then so all of a sudden you're like exposed and you're like, oh my God, it would be like booking business class and then everybody in economy deciding, fuck the people in business class, we're just gonna like storm the plane. And they all come up and start like touching you and kissing you, and you're like, ah, go away. That's how I'm gonna explain it. So that's how it felt like. I was like, fuck, like all of a sudden I'm like exposed and like shit. And but really interestingly, yeah, I booked a hotel and sort of got out of the way, got out of Dodge, and I'm very for kind of, well, guys, I'm gonna say very forgiven, but I'm kind of forgiven, so I'm kind of like, well, look, these things happen, and it is a pandemic, and it's hard to avoid it. I definitely think you can be more careful, but I also think it is very hard to avoid coronavirus now because it is, you know, hypothetically so contagious and all things like this. But what really impressed me, which is the point I'm trying to get to, is something I said to somebody. And I was on the phone and I was talking, and we were kind of like chatting shit and kind of like complaining about, you know, maybe it was this person's fault, maybe it was that person's fault, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. And then this is what I said. I said, do you know what though? Like, I'm really grateful that I have the money to book a hotel and go and be comfortable and be safe and all these things. And that was fucking really cool. Like, I don't have loads of money, of course I don't. Like, I'm not a fucking millionaire, like, but it was really nice that that was the silver lining. That was what my brain came up with. Rather than anger, rather than like resentment, rather than all these things, my brain decided it was going to focus on the fact that, again, being proud of myself for earning money, making money, etc., etc. Yeah, I was really happy that here I am, sat in a hotel. Don't really have that much to complain about, because it would be far worse if I couldn't have afforded a hotel and I had to stay in a risky environment with, I think in the house I was in, three or four people have now tested positive. So, yeah, that's quite frightening and quite concerning. I don't think I'm out of the woodwork just yet. Two negative tests is a really good sign. But I did read like 2 to 14 days after exposure, so I'm probably like day 6 or something like that from last Friday, or maybe day 7. But yeah, pretty crazy. But apart from that, I'm absolutely delighted to be back at altitude. It's really hard, which is obviously why I really like it. And again, like, I quite like about that about myself. I like to be. I go for a run. I really struggle on the run. I'm a lot slower than what I would be at sea level. I don't feel very fit at all. And instead of like running from it and running away and thinking, fuck that, I just think, imagine how good it's gonna feel to be back at sea level when it's even easy for you up here. So when I can get to the point that even running up here at 7,000 feet feels comfortable, and I can run up hills and it doesn't absolutely kill me. And actually run up hills rather than like slow jogging up hills. That's when I'll know that I'm ready. And that could take a month, or it could take the next 6 months. But I'm devoted to staying as long as it takes to feel as fit as I feel like I need to be at the Olympics. I think that's a pretty good. I have a couple of goals in mind. There's a couple of runs I'd like to be able to sort of do. One is there's a road loop in Camp Verde, and on Thursday I did a tempo there. And I guess I feel the need to say now, but I'm going to say I did a tempo there with no fancy shoes or anything like that. Just, you know, old school flats, is that what we should say? Because of course I could probably put fancy shoes on and fly around the loop, but that's not what we're talking about here. So I have goals, and the goals I have are to go to that loop in Verde, no fancy aids or like new technology, whatever we're calling it, and I want to be able to run 15 miles at 5 minute mile pace. So that's like, I did five on Thursday and it was pretty fucking hard because it's still a little bit of altitude. It's like 3,500 feet maybe. So it still hurts you a bit. And it hurts me. I think it hurts me more than others because of my throat problem. So when I like, when I'm exercising and like that throat swells, then you have, at altitude, you have not only the fact that there's slightly less oxygen, but you're also fighting this like stupid throat thing. And I'm trying to do the breathing techniques and they're just, oh, it's just a nightmare. And I end up like coughing and I'm all over the place. So yeah, for me, if I could do 15 mile there, I might not ever be able to, but if I could do that, I know, and I don't care what the heart rate is. I literally don't care. If I can do 15 mile at 5 minute mile pace, I'll be thinking I'm ready. I'm in a good place for the Olympics. Oh no. The Normatex have ran out of battery, guys. That's a disaster. So I'm gonna have to roll over. Oh, get the abs going. Oh boy. The other goal is it's a run called Woody Mountain Road. Anyone that's ever been to Flagstaff will know Woody Mountain Road. And I think before Houston Marathon, a couple of years ago, I did a 24-mile run on Woody Mountain Road. And most of the miles were, I think there was a couple at the start were pretty slow, like, and again, sorry, pretty slow for what I'm talking about here, but obviously not slow. So probably like 6:30, 6:40, maybe for like 2 or 3 mile. And then I kind of got going and I was running the rest at about 6 minutes, 5:50. I think more like 6 minutes to tell you the truth. I'll have to have a look. I think I average like 6:08 like per mile. And I remember thinking if I could average like between 5:50, probably 5:50 would be my goal. If I could run 24 miles on Woody Mountain Road and average 5:50, I believe I could, well, at the time I thought that's sub 2:10. I know I believe that's actually like a bit better than that, maybe like 2:08. So maybe that's like another one of my goals is to be able to go to Woody. So that's kind of the plan. And in the interim, I'll just fill the gaps with like hopefully good training. Hopefully stay healthy. I'm trying to like be a bit better with like double runs and stuff so I can get it probably is just a little bit lazy. Now obviously it's hard work because it's altitude and I sort of think at altitude that like no run is free. At sea level you can just go for like a 6 mile run or like an 8 mile run and like it's great. You're not out of breath, like your muscles feel good, you come home and you're like, woo, awesome, job done. At altitude, there's no free runs. You know, I did a run tonight, 5 mile, went pretty slow, big hill at the end, out of breath, coughing. It's just, there's no free runs. Every run, it probably hurts in some way, shape, or form. So, I want to be better at getting out the door. So, believing in my body a little bit more. Sometimes, I think a quote that Julian Wander said a while back was he thinks people focus on recovery too much. And sometimes I'm a little bit probably just too good to myself. And I'm a little bit like, ah, you know, you've been training pretty tough. And I sort of like, I count the weekly mileage and I sort of think, well, you know, you could miss tonight and you could still run like 85 miles, for example. And actually what I need to be doing is just thinking, should I run tonight? Is my body okay? Was there any injuries? Am I tired? And if the answer is no, go get the fucking run done. And actually you're allowed to be a bit tired. You're expected to be tired. If you're running, you know, 90 mile a week plus at altitude, like expect to be tired. But I think I've been a bit too nice to myself and a bit too like forgiving and I just allow myself to like talk myself out of double runs quite a lot and you know, talk myself into, oh, you should do like 6 or 8 miles this morning instead of like 10, 11. And yeah, I need to sort of like cut the shit is a good phrase for that. So yeah, look, plenty of good training. I have a couple of goals. I'm not going to like, attempt these goals anytime soon, but like, you know, I'll go to Camp Verde. It's the road loop that I'm talking about. And I'll build that 5 mile tempo at 5 minutes to like 6 to 7 to 8. And hopefully as fitness gets better, I'll just start to know, could I have done more? Could I actually do 10? Could I do 12? And I remember when I was in Font, one of my goals, if I had stayed there before London, if you remember, was to do 12 miles under 5 minute miling, because I believed if I could do 12 miles under 5 minute miling, then when I'm back at sea level for London, you know, 5 minute miling would have felt like really comfortable. And I guess that's the mindset I'm sort of taking here, but pushing it a bit further to like 15, like if you can make 15 miles at altitude, I know it's not high altitude, but like 3,500 feet, it's still a bit. If you can make that feel good and pretty comfortable, then of course when you go back to sea level and you taper, you know, you're gonna like instantly just feel better. And then of course in the marathon you should be like pretty relaxed at that kind of intensity. But it's just good that that's where my brain's at and my confidence is there, that I actually believe, you know, if I literally, like, I was pretty happy to be done on Thursday at 5 miles, but I believe I can take that from whatever fitness I have now and push that to be able to do 15. And if I can't, so what? Doesn't fucking matter, does it? Like, at least I tried. So yeah, no, things are in a pretty good place. It's been like has been a bit of a shit storm, but look, like I said, instead of focusing on, you know, resentment or anger or trying to blame people and all this kind of shit, I'm just grateful that I can actually afford this nice hotel, that I can, you know, go to a store and afford everything that I need, and be comfortable in the surroundings that I'm in. And I am really, really, really lucky, and I'm in a really good spot. So nothing but absolute gratefulness. As cheesy and as silly as that can sound sometimes, because when I hear people talk about gratitude and gratefulness, I'm kind of waiting for a, like, you know, I'm sure you guys are waiting for the day that I thank God and all the rest of it. But like, in fairness, like, cheesiness aside, I really am. Like, it's been quite the journey, and you know, 2 or 3 years ago I wouldn't be in this position, and I wouldn't be able to just afford to, I'd have had to ask my parents to like book me a hotel and stuff like that. So yeah, look, it's in a good place. Fingers crossed I stay away from positive COVID tests. Perhaps is absolutely dying a death, I think, in the house. He's been bedridden for 3 days, so he's really struggling with this, and that's a real shame for him. And yeah, like I said, there was a couple of other positive tests, that Haas was the last of the sort of positive tests, so yeah, he kind of caught it at the end. But yeah, look, it is everywhere, and it is something that we kind of have to live with and deal with at the minute. But it's just pretty shitty when it rocks up on your doorstep and you start worrying if, you know, you're gonna get it yourself. So yeah, look, bit of gratitude there, grateful that I can book a hotel, and I think it means when I am out running, I'm just thinking, well, part of me was thinking, fuck, I hope this isn't my last run, because I looked at the protocol that the doctor sent over. If you do test positive, even if you don't have symptoms, it's a pretty lengthy protocol back to full training, just to be on the safe side. So I am grateful that I can get out the door and run for the moment while I'm sort of negative, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, maybe it just makes you appreciate it that little bit more. And but no, I listen to, I'm listening to an Audible at the minute. I think it's called The Art of Resilience. Let me just check that, because I know sometimes people are looking for things to listen to or read. Yeah, it's called The Art of Resilience by Ross Edgley. And he swims around, I guess, the United Kingdom, maybe, or maybe around Britain. But it's a long swim, a very, very long swim. I think it's like 12 hour swims a day, which is absolutely incredible. But look, there's quite a lot of really good stuff in this Audible. And the thing that came up today was, one of the really tough things about doing something that nobody's ever done before is there's no blueprint. And it got me thinking, and I was kind of like, we always like, you know, as runners, we're terrible for like having to read about other people's training, or maybe we're on Strava, or, you know, we're always trying to like, sometimes we're trying to copy what other people are doing, or sometimes we're trying to make our training similar to theirs. And we don't sort of think like, first of all, we're all unique. And so there is no blueprint to how Stephen Scullion becomes the most successful athlete he's ever been. Or, you know, there is no blueprint for you as a listener who, you know, maybe runs or, you know, plays sport. Or there's no blueprint already written for how you personally become the most successful athlete or version of yourself, et cetera, et cetera. So everything has to be quite unique. And it got me thinking, like with my throat issue, for example, I want to do 3 sessions a week. That's what I want to be doing. But I also have to think logically and realize that every time I push and get my breathing to a high rate, it causes my throat to swell. And that's why on the podcast, you'll always hear me and you'll hear me like trying to clear what I think is mucus at the back of my throat. But actually, my throat has just swollen. And so it feels like there's something back there, but there's nothing back there. So again, that was just me thinking, you know, Stephen, like actually maybe you need 2 really easy days, for example, in between hard days. But also like another way to think of this would be to be very successful at something. Sometimes you have to do either what someone isn't willing to do or someone hasn't thought of doing before. And so, for example, one way I might put that theory into practice would be like, you know, it would be a crazy thought, but like, let's say Stephen Scullion decided instead of doing 1 session 3 times a week, I'm just going to do, you know, 2 sessions a day 3 times a week. So that's 6 sessions. Whatever session I do, I'm going to repeat it that night, etc. Right? I'm not going to do that, okay? Because I think if that was possible, you'd be an absolute machine, but you know, you might get injured, right? So it's about thinking on your feet, using your knowledge of yourself, figuring out at what sort of intensities and what sort of, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good at like tempo running, like threshold running. And so it might be that on a tempo or a threshold day, I can do it twice. But I have to start thinking about if I'm trying to achieve something that I've never achieved before, that means that there's no blueprint already written. And so an example might be every Friday, Stephen Scullion decided to run up the mountain at altitude. He still did his normal week, what he used to do before, but for the Olympic Games, he made sure 20 times he ran up this mountain. That's an example. But that's what I'm going to challenge you guys to do, to start thinking a little bit differently like that and thinking what sort of things you could be doing, less of, more of, better, to just make yourself a little bit better. And I'm going to do that too. I do try to work on my weaknesses. And I have certainly added a lot of new things to my program that I've never sort of added before. And you know, I have these goals, like I have goals with the gym stuff too. Like I want to be able to, you know, squat like I think double my body weight, which is probably going to be like 130 to 135 kilograms, which is, I don't know why I said 130. Who am I kidding? I'm not 65 kilograms. What a boy. More like 135 to 140. That's quite a lot of weight to shift. But that's one of my goals before the Olympics. And then also I told you the 15 miles around Camp Verde at 5 minutes. There's just challenges I'm setting myself. And ultimately then I have to just work away at that, chip away at that. I need to probably bring some kind of flexibility stroke yoga into the program and set a goal up around that. So I've kind of got strength, I've got endurance, and then I've got like range of motion, I suppose you could call it, or like body movement. I don't really know what you would call yoga, but I, or maybe even just be able to touch my toes, for example. At the minute, I definitely could not touch my toes. So, look, I've really gone on a little bit here today. Good little update for you guys. There is a 10K track race that is, let me see, 6 weeks away now. Oof, that's quite scary. And so that's kind of where things are heading, I think, so long as everything's okay and negative tests and you know, I'm happy with the fitness, I shall go and hopefully give that Northern Ireland record a go. I ran 2 years ago. I missed it by about 3 or 4 seconds, I think. So I think I should be able to run like maybe like 28:10 to 28:20, something like that now. Which would break it by quite a bit, but that's all well good in theory. I actually thought I would beat it in 2019. So I ran 28:36 in 2018, and then I thought in 2019 I would beat it, and then I ended up getting sick. And then I, in 2020, for whatever reason this year, there was no race opportunities because Highgate. And so it just shows you how difficult sometimes it is to actually break records because fitness needs to meet opportunity. So if there's no opportunity to race and you're really, really fit, well, then you can't break it. But then, you know, hopefully fitness meets opportunity. So that's about all I'm going to say today. But yeah, look, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. Up here working hard, no intentions to leave altitude until I feel fit. I am fit already, but I want to feel very fit. You know, this is a big year. But yeah, fingers crossed, no COVID. And look, guys, I really do hope you guys are doing well too. Start putting things in place that make you proud of yourself. We can't let anyone else's behavior or other situations in life be an excuse to let ourselves go. I was talking to my dad and we were talking about this whole mess about COVID, and one of the